Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you are searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or just need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There is nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. We all have the SeatGeek app on our phones, and it's by far the easiest way we have found to shop for tickets. We can be anywhere with just a few taps, instantly find seats. In fact, I believe we might be using SeatGeek to go to a game this week, Tristan and I. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals in every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, fantasy-focused baseball listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. So just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
If I changed my career right now, no one's going to give me credit if I was a successful accountant. You know,
yeah, like, I mean, in fairness, imagine what our slash rates would be in AAA if we walked up the streets.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday morning, July 9th, 2018. I am Eric. He is Tristan. We've got awesome researcher and pal Kyle Soppy here, editorial watchdog Leo Howe, and producer Anthony Calatayud. And let me say, gents, you're all stars in my book. How about that?
Are we standing in for injured podcast people, or are we like
on the
first
Howell
team?
Might be. Yeah.
Wait, were we voted in by the fans or by the players? Or I don't know.
How did that work?
Yeah. I mean, as a Rays fan, I have to get a spot. There's only one of us that's ever eligible, so I just automatically get my Rays spot.
So. He's got a point there. That means I got to work extra hard because, you know, these other Yankees that are there.
12 Yankees on the team. But, like, Leo, if it's you or Blake Snell, I got to go with Snell. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a lefty and I'm a righty, so he does provide better matchups.
Anthony's like the Joe Jimenez of the team. You know, we need Anthony, you know.
I'm also the one Marlin fan, too, so go figure.
Who's the Realmuto? He was actually deserving. I have him as the number one catcher in fantasy, JT Realmuto. I moved him ahead of Gary Sanchez. How about that?
I can see that.
All right, we have lots to discuss on today's show. Maybe the All-Star game will come up a little bit later on the hash browns. Here's the buzz. I still find it interesting that people get so worked up about who makes it and who doesn't, and they don't understand why this all happens. We all know why Joe Jimenez is on the All-Star team. It has very little to do with the statistics. Remember the year Mike Williams made it with like a 640 ERA? Because like it was Pittsburgh, I think, that needed a representative.
And he had like 25 saves. I don't think it was the year it was that high, but I remember the year you're talking about.
But he, you know, Detroit, somebody has to be the All-Star from Detroit, and there's no room for hitters. So it had to be a pitcher. You find a pitcher on Detroit that's deserving. A healthy pitcher, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it
would have been Shane Green, probably.
People are going to debate you on Nicholas Castellanos, but I see your point. It's just...
I mean, there's a lot of good hitters that missed it. I mean, my blog today is about the top options. It's actually, Blake Snell is not the top option on the player radar. He was when I tweeted it last night.
Yep, I know who it is. He's having a really good year. He's in the final vote, too.
Yeah, and a couple of these guys, like Blake Snell's not even – Blake Snell's going to be on the All-Star team. Leo knows this.
Yeah, because he's going to replace Verlander.
Verlander and six other pitchers are not going to be available to pitch, so it's going to end up being like 60 All-Stars overall, which is fine. It's just a crazy game. It doesn't count for anything, so enjoy it. Have some fun.
Thankfully, it doesn't.
Jimenez is not going to be getting the last out of the game unless they're down like 10-2, the American League, which they won't be, so because it's hard to score. Because all these pitchers are so ramped up. I mean, how are you going to score runs? Anyway, I just thought it was interesting, and I know people will get into it, but like Twitter was just like a train wreck last night with all these people, you know, complaining.
Last night?
And it's a travesty. I love the, like, it's a tragedy and a travesty and a disgrace. Look what's happening in the world, people. I don't think that Blake Snell missing is that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, anyway, anything else with the All-Star game that you would like to discuss?
I'm just glad it doesn't count.
Yeah, that's really the only thing that I wanted.
I have fun watching it. That's all it is. It's entertainment.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to love the introductions because there was no interleague. And I couldn't watch like a Mariners game or anything. So, you know, I used to remember like there was like Monday Night Baseball, I think, on ABC. Mm-hmm. And there was and Saturday Afternoon Baseball. There were very few chances to just watch whatever you wanted to watch. And but then again, like, I remember, like, and I'm a Phillies fan, like, it wouldn't mean that much to me to see, like, one Philly on the team as opposed to zero. It just didn't matter, okay? Like, I'm trying to think of, like, obscure Phillies that made the All-Star teams, and it just, you know, it was no big deal. Like, did you even care? Like, Yankees weren't that awesome for all of your youth. But, like, Raleigh was an All-Star one of my years with as growing up as a Phillies fan. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, but I see him whenever I want. Like, I don't see anybody in the American League. So does it matter to you?
To your point about the introductions, one of the reasons that I've always liked that, and I like that as well for the postseason. So one of the big things why I like World Series Game 1, especially if you're there, is that you get to see the introductions of your team. For me, I was a big Don Mattingly fan. And he used to be the Dave Winfield used to get in on the players' vote a lot. But Mattingly, you knew he'd be there on the fan vote. And you'd see him for the introductions. It was great.
Don Mattingly is no Shane Raleigh, I assure you. Like, are there any Tigers fans out there saying, oh, thank God, Jose Joe Jimenez has made the team? They're not. That's the rule that they could get rid of if they really want.
I mean.
All right. Let's talk about the players that maybe not are on the All-Star team.
The
top two players of the past week. One of them is still available in 20% of leagues, but really shouldn't be because he's flirted with 30-30 in his career. And the number one player of the past week had an interesting weekend. Walk-off homer, 10 RBI game, and then he pitched on Sunday. That's never happened before. I'm quite certain. I'm not going to say I'd rather have Mark Reynolds than Will Myers in a fantasy league. That's ridiculous. But Mark Reynolds is going to stick around. I don't think there's any sign of Ryan Zimmerman coming back. And I think Washington realizes that Reynolds might be better than Zimmerman.
You want to laugh at something? When you said 30 homers, I actually thought you were listing the players in the opposite order, which suggests that Reynolds' past history is something we should be recalling, and he is performing a lot better, and he is hitting for greater contact. I don't think the batting average is sustainable, but I'm glad you brought him up. I mean, we got to talk Mark Reynolds after what he's done, no?
I don't see any news on Zimmerman, which makes me think that Reynolds and Matt Adams are going to keep playing. And I think Washington thinks that maybe Zimmerman's going to be a problem all season long, whether ever, you know, what is it, a back injury?
He's got a history of this. I mean, there's no reason to be pushing Zimmerman.
Half last year, too. I mean,
right.
Reynolds is Reynolds a legit fantasy pickup? The reason why I would say, like, take a shot if you've got the space and you can use him in a corner or utility is because I don't think he's Jesus Aguilar. But what if he does, like, what Muncy and Aguilar are doing? All right? I mean, like, the amazing thing about Aguilar to me is that 19 of his 22 homers have come since May 18th. He did nothing the first 7 weeks of the season. And since then, he's been a monster. And he should be the all-star in the fan vote thing over Muncy, I think.
It's going to be tough to win that based on, you know, what we think in terms of the fan bases here. So I hope they make a very big push. Aguilar will make it on the team either way. I can't put Reynolds in the Aguilar thing, so let's just be careful on that.
Well, he had 30 home runs last year, though.
Yeah, and this is the thing with Reynolds. He is actually hitting right-handers. So we thought at this point, I mean, and this is everybody, not you and me, just alone. We thought of him as a guy who only would hit lefties, that you use him as a platoon type of guy. He's hitting both sides. He's making contact at a much better rate, which is not going to kill his batting average. I still think you're going to look at him as a platoon type of guy. The Nationals face a lot of right-handed pitching this week, so Reynolds might not even play every day. But in our game where you have the daily advantage for lineups, Reynolds is a little utility there.
I agree, and I wish I had spent a dollar on him in NLA. Or not that it would have mattered.
Well, in that case, how could you have known? I mean, he was a free agent at the time of the draft, if I recall.
No, but he became, like, he was available to bid on at some point. When he signed with Washington, he was available.
Did he really go for one?
I don't know what he went for, but I know I could have had him because I have the most money available. And I thought to myself, I actually wasn't negative. I was like, he's going to be up with the Nationals in a week. You know, I remember writing about Matt Adams and saying, oh, he's legit, he could hit 25 home runs. But as soon as Reynolds signed that minor league deal, I was like, he could be up with the Nationals in a week and could do exactly what he did last year when nobody believed in him again, and he's exactly doing it. The other guy is Will Myers, who had a 3-home run game on Saturday in a game his team lost by double digits. That had never happened before. Then on Sunday, he had a combo meal with 2 steals and the walk-off homer off a backup catcher. I throw that in there. Look, it counts, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a shame. I don't know how you can have a staff with 8-9 relief pitchers and still these in a close game, you're still relying on a backup catcher. Philly was going to do it last week. They were going to have Jesmiel Valentin pitch in a tie game in like the 14th inning because they ran out of pitchers.
We had a weekend one, too, where it was Jesus Sucre, I think, came in instead of Alvarado.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And then they had to relieve him.
Inning. Yeah.
Anyway, Will Myers, you know, he's not even going to win a batting title, but that's a 30-30 type player every season, and I don't know why he's still available in so many leagues.
Do you think he gets to in terms of the pace of remaining games, do you think he gets to a pace of 30 stolen bases, though? That would be the side I'm a little bit wary of, but 20?
Look,
20 would be outstanding if he got to that pace.
Unless you're Joey Gallo's batting average, if you're going to go 20-20 in a season, you should be rostered in every fantasy league. Okay,
I think even if you're Joey Gallo's batting average, with those homers and steals.
I mean, nobody's on pace for 40 steals right now. So anybody who is a 20-20 player, and Myers has already done it the past couple seasons, should be rostered in every league. This is a number three outfielder. I'm not going to say Will Myers is a top 10 fantasy outfielder, but he's kind of close.
I think he could be, but I hesitate with him just based on another guy. I'll say the injury track record. It's the only thing I really am wary with him.
And back to Aguilar. You know, I feel like he's this year's Cody Bellinger. We just didn't think he'd play. And, you know, like, you couldn't make a case to roster Aguilar back in April, right? You couldn't.
Not in our game, but in everything deeper. And the main reason you would have said no to it is just that there was a question he'd make the roster. So the most remarkable part of the story is that the Brewers themselves were not thinking about putting him on the opening day roster. But
amazing.
He made it. You and I mentioned his name during spring training.
Oh, yeah.
I recalled this. We said he could hit righties.
I thought if he could just play every day, but I mean, how could that possibly have happened when they had four outfielders? I mean, Santana was their best outfielder last year. They pick up Kanan Yelich. They're not going to sit Ryan Braun, although they are. And then they had Eric Thames to platoon at first if they wanted to. Braun was going to move to first. Braun's now on the DL. Braun is probably the least useful of all these guys we just mentioned.
I recall.
We said it a while ago. Yeah. He's just not that good and not that healthy.
Aguilar's
going to hit 40 home runs.
And the telling thing for Aguilar is this. Among right-handed hitters qualified for batting title, he has the major's eighth best weighted on-base average against righties, .410. He's up there with guys like Altuve and Judge and Machado and Mike Trout and J.D. Martinez. I mean, that's how extraordinary this year has been, and that is the big takeaway for fantasy.
Speaking of Machado, I don't think he's getting traded in the next week or two. I think it's going to come down to the last day. Baltimore will try to get the most they can, whether it's the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Phillies, whatever it is. I've got all my money saved in NL labor for Machado, essentially, but I'm too far out to wait.
And I'll ask this. I don't know. Do you think it matters what day it is? The better question for me is, do you think he will get traded?
If Baltimore doesn't trade him, like even if it's like for just Zach Eflin, you got to get something. He's not coming back there.
I get that, but there's a little part of me that says, what if Machado doesn't get traded because they just say we didn't like the offers well enough?
How dumb is that, though?
I know.
It's like in a fantasy
know.
League and you have a contract player who's going to be running out and you're in eighth place. You have to trade him.
There's some part of me that says I could just see this playing out where he doesn't get traded. And
I can see that, but like, even that team, even that organization, can't be that silly.
Is that going to be the premium guy who crosses leagues? If you're in, say, an NL only, and you're waiting with the
even if they just get like Verdugo and a pitching prospect back, and no like major league players, who else could move? I don't know. Does it matter? Like, I people do this all the time. They spend all of July worrying about who might get traded over.
Yep.
You know, and most times nothing happens. I mean, all these we've talked about on the show, all these closers are going to get traded. No, they're not. How many of these closers can actually get traded? Where are you going to put them all?
So, I do think a couple will get traded, but there's going to be no rhyme or reason to how that plays itself out.
I think the big one to watch is Brad Hand. Let's talk about some other players here. Oh, injuries. Well, so Braun's in the DL, but I don't care. Just drop him. In a 10-team standard ESPN league, just drop him. Do you drop Yasiel Puig, though? He's clearly going on the DL today. It's a strained right oblique. We were watching it on Sunday Night Baseball with the crew, and he hit a home run, and then in his next at-bat, he grabbed his side. And it's a shame because he's a good player. And, he's an underrated good player. He's probably not much. I don't know.
Good player, not a great player.
Good, but not great player. But like, if you were saying to me Puig or Will Myers, you know, I would probably take Myers. But Puig is still right there with him. That's a top, not top 20 outfielder, probably top 30 outfielder. Anyway, he's going in the DL, I would assume. Mm-hmm. And do you cut him?
Our game is the one situation where I'd say yeah. I try to keep him around. You know, I say that an awful lot, but I don't think he's up there in that tier where you should be too upset about letting him go if you needed the roster spot, had to get through this week.
Do you drop him for Avisail Garcia of the White Sox?
I would envision in our game that you're going to have a need for a guy like Avisel Garcia just to get through this week, and I would make that move. Yes.
Drop him for Aaron Hicks.
Yes. I like Hicks a lot.
Jesse Winker.
Now, I've written this in the forecast of this week that Winker has
great. He's going to be great.
Yeah, he has a schedule that is unusually favorable for him, despite the fact that the Reds' overall grade for the week hitting isn't all that well. Winker himself stands out. So does Votto. I would make that move.
That's going to be Michael Brantley. Jesse Winker is going to hit 300 with, like, not more than 20 homers, but, you know, enough power to matter. Not going to run. Jesse Winker could be Michael Brantley. All right, so let me ask you this. Do you drop Puig for Kyle Tucker, who the Astros promoted over the weekend? He was hitting for power. He was stealing bases in the minors. It's a big deal that Kyle Tucker got called up to the major leagues. First two games, 1-for-7 against the White Sox. I assume he's going to be their regular left fielder. Your thoughts on Kyle Tucker and to what degree? He's the second most added outfielder in ESPN leagues after Garcia. Should that be?
Yes. And to your question about making that move, yes, I wouldn't hesitate. I think Tucker's
great, right?
Yeah, he's. I mean, you know, like, these other guys are very useful. I like Hicks a lot. I mean, I could see a scenario where I rank Hicks higher than him, but Tucker's a guy you go get. They are going to play him. You don't call up a premium prospect like this and not play him every day. 21-year-old player who's been tearing it up at any different level he's been at professionally. The contact rate is pretty impressive. He does have a good amount of plate discipline. This guy's the total package. I'm not seeing MVP votes. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not like Juan Soto's impact, but I do think he plays right away and he fills every category. You?
Yeah, he had 14 homers and 14 steals at AAA Fresno, about a .306, can take a walk. Only concern would be if he struggles for a week, do the Astros just send him back to the minor leagues?
Right. They can't afford to have
plenty of depth.
Yeah, they can't afford to have negative war going on in left field every day, so I get that. But I think this guy's going to play. If they're patient enough to go beyond the first 5 to 8 days of potential major league jitters as he adjusts, I think he's going to be a star.
All right, let's talk about the combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal!
Interesting crew of names here. Will Myers and Yairo Munoz did this on Sunday. I don't think Munoz is anybody we need to pay attention to in fantasy, is he?
Munoz kind of just got on the NL-only radar just because of the shortstop eligibility, and beyond that, I don't
but
really
have
a lot.
They got their shortstop back. Their shortstop is back now and healthy, right?
Right. No, it's the eligibility that he had because he can play in several different positions. It's right. That you can use him in fantasy at shortstop.
Right. I just don't think he's going to play.
No, I mean, I think that as the guy who fills the back end of an NL-only roster, we can talk.
Sure.
But
he's 4 out of 8 on steals, has 5 home runs, batting .288, not a walker.
He's a contact guy. Doesn't
but
yeah.
Paul DeJong is back, so I mean, Munoz just shouldn't play very much.
Right.
Javier Baez was just flat out awesome. He had the combo meal on Saturday. He might be the NL MVP.
Really?
Well, I mean, you know, other than Scherzer. And that team's in third place. Like, in real life, I think Javier Baez, Freddie Freeman, maybe Aguilar, it's a wide-open real-life NL MVP race.
Yes, it is.
And Baez could actually be the fantasy MVP, if you think about it. Because what I usually do is I just disregard players like Trout and Mookie Betts because they were first-round picks, and I'm looking for guys who came out of the middle rounds or were undrafted. Javier Baez right now is probably the MVP in fantasy. He's the number 11 player on the player radar. I think he was like a 15th round pick, maybe. Maybe that's wrong. But I'll check that.
It was probably close to that. I can dig it up if you want.
It could be Blake Snell.
Could be Eddie Rosario.
Could be Eddie Rosario, sure. But like Baez, what an amazing season. He could go 30-30 if he wanted to. He has 17 home runs, 16 steals. He steals home whenever he wants. He's really having an amazing season. And he's eligible at 3 infield spots. I think right now. I probably should have saved this for a blog, but, you know, I don't even know if it's the same audience that reads that and listens to this. But Javier Baez is probably my fantasy MVP.
I'm sure you will have a column on that. I always look forward to this one, and I look forward to you and I having the discussion on the show about that because we usually debate as to what exactly makes a fantasy MVP. So to your point about this one, NL MVP, the reason why I hesitate and didn't automatically go there is that the defensive metrics for him aren't what they were last year, and that's where I think is a lot of his value. This is what's remarkable about his year. His chase rate is a career high, That is extremely unusual. So when you want to talk about plate discipline, no, the underlying metrics do not say he's improved much. His swinging strike rate is above his career average. So that means it's one of the higher numbers of his career. And yet the guy is still doing what he's doing, which means to me, he's looking for his pitch when it's in the strike zone. He's done a lot better in that regard. I can't explain. Look at the guy's walk rate.
It doesn't make any sense, but Vlad Guerrero's didn't either. And, you know, Javier Baez is a fantastic player with speed. He's amazing.
I think it speaks very well of him that imagine if he had a little growth in any of those areas in addition to this.
If the Cubs win that division, I think he might win NL MVP. If he approaches 30-30, Freddie Freeman has a shot too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then Friday's combo meal was Jose Bautista, including the walk-off grand slam.
Yeah.
We laughed at when the Mets signed him, but he's one of their best players. He takes walks at least. It's amazing. You don't want him in fantasy though. In a points league, Jose Bautista has value though. Because of the walk.
The Mets are using him, and I don't see that changing all that much.
I don't either.
Bautista
could lose his starting job in mid-August to Tim Tebow. I see that happen. No. Bautista probably playing, like, another outfield spot or third base.
You don't really think when Tebow comes up, he's playing every day, do you?
Oh, I do, by the way.
I think he's making appearances every day. I don't think he's going to be, like, up August 1st and playing every day the rest of the year.
I hear Tebow might be in our area one night this week, by the way.
Yeah, filthy rumor, I know.
he was actually
we better
named
scout that.
to the All-Star team in the Eastern League. And my first thought was, I used to get mad at stuff like this, and now I'm like, whatever. But I'm not mad that he made it. I'm thinking, who is the deserving outfielder that got pushed aside by Tim Tebow on his, like, .380 slugging percentage? Hey, whatever.
The thing that strikes me about that one is that if you want to talk about, like, the Ichiro discussion for the home run derby, so, like, the AA home run derby, okay. That would be fun. I get it. But, yeah. He's not having a terrible year. It's just,
He's just,
middle of the road.
You know, give him credit. You know, we never give the guy credit. But, like, if I changed my career right now, you know, like, no one's going to give me credit if I was a successful accountant in a year, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, in fairness, imagine what our slash rates would be in AAA if we walked off the street.
Give me a break. Let's look at the schedule because that's important. And actually, there are some late afternoon games today. Because there's doubleheaders in Baltimore and New York, and the weather is nice, so they will not be rained out again. Zach Eflin on the mound today.
Yep.
Having a good year. But on ESPN at 7 p.m. Eastern time, because I'm a company man, it's the Nationals and the Pirates, Jeffrey Rodriguez and Ivan Nova.
Yep.
On ESPN Plus, it's a better matchup, Mike Minor and Eduardo Rodriguez, who's legit. Eduardo Rodriguez is legit. And look at that walk rate. Not walking to anybody.
Yep.
Good for him.
Like him.
I like Eduardo Rodriguez a lot. And when I was writing about Blake Snell today, I thought, I was trying to think of other lefties with outrageous walk rates that you could say, hey, don't give up on this guy because if he just gets his control under control. Yeah, like I was going to say that, but I thought it sounded weird. Like, I can't think of anybody else quite like Blake Snell. That's a lefty, okay? Like, obviously, for right-handers, there's walkers. There's Giolito, there's Chatwood, but lefties that walk people at an insane rate. I thought of Duffy and Sean Newcomb.
You remember the Scott Kazmir years.
Yeah, but I'm thinking right now.
I'm just saying that. I remember in fantasy, people were always looking at that guy with 100 walks and then the 225, 250 strikeouts. And, you know, it's unusual.
It's unusual for somebody like Blake Snell to develop like this and then all of a sudden figure out. And by the way, he's still walking people. He's fourth among all left-handers in walks, but he's not allowing any hits. He's become unhittable.
I got one. Francisco Liriano.
He's
not an exciting name like the other two. But
I think Newcomb is the obvious name because now he's in a rut. He's walking people again. He's getting lit up. I think if you've got Newcomb on a team, you got to stick it out a couple more weeks till the end of the month because the upside is to do amazing things.
Sure.
Anyway, looking at the schedule there, what do we need to talk about for today's games?
Chris Archer's return.
Oh, that's right. Chris Archer's returning.
He's on a pitch count, though, for this game, so be aware of it.
Do you activate him in a week for the week, though? Was the second start?
Hold on. I had my grid sitting right here.
If you've got Chris Archer and you've been waiting all season long, don't you just have to activate him no matter what?
The vast majority of my leagues, yes, I've got to do it. I mean, even with the pitch count, most of mine lean towards weekly transactions, so I'm getting the two starts. The second one's probably going to be either a mild limit or none, and it's at Minnesota.
I have a league in which I stream a starter for the week every week. This week, Andrew Suarez was the guy I picked up.
I like that.
I would have taken Eflin before him. I would have taken, I'm trying to think of anybody.
Right.
Duffy I've already had and I've gotten sick of.
But there's one thing I don't like about Suarez this week.
I think I know what it is. You're not positive he's going to make that second start.
Just because of the age, the fact that they might want to keep the innings in check, and I could see them doing some little funky thing. But right now, I think you've got to proceed as if he's making the two.
Tuesday on ESPN Plus, Jose Quintana and Johnny Cueto. I've got Quintana in too many places. And I thought about putting him in a trade offer to reply to a trade offer I got about an hour ago. And then I thought, that guy's not going to fall for this. Quintana's not having a good year. He's walking people. There's no signs of this stopping. He doesn't look like the guy he was last year. I've got him for, I think, $23 in a not new league, and I'm not going to consider keeping him. So I'd definitely trade him there.
Right.
You know, like I offered him up for Jesus Aguilar straight up. The guy laughed at me.
Oh, yeah, there's no
way. But there was contracts, and the guy needs pitching. You know, like it's not just straight up like that. But
right.
Anyway, Quintana against Johnny Cueto. Cueto got lit in his last outing. What are you doing there? If you've got Cueto, haven't you run out of time to sell high?
I think so. It's really hard for me to evaluate the guy. I generally don't own Johnny Cueto or Rust or Johnny Cueto. I can't start him here, not based on how he looked the last outing. It's the Cubs. That's not a good matchup.
Wednesday, lots of day ball, including Jordan Zimmermann, who I am not buying on, but I'm interested to see if my colleagues are. Check out ESPN's fantasy content today and see if anybody picked Jordan Zimmermann as the pitcher to buy. I don't even care who the other ones are. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I barely looked at that email that Leo sent right before the show, and I thought, I saw Jordan Zimmermann's name. I'm like, no way.
Okay, now I want to ask you a question here.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I got a good friend of mine is playing in a head-to-head league, and 2 weeks ago, he comes up to me and he's asking about, I'm desperate, I got to catch up, how about Jordan Zimmermann against Toronto? And this is the game where he whiffed like 11 or 12 batters or something through a great game, and I told him, like, he doesn't get Ks, I don't believe in the guy. I feel bad about it. Like, I probably torpedoed his matchup, but, I mean, what do you do in that situation? You just said you don't believe in him either.
Of course not. I don't know how we can.
Yeah.
Even if they were good.
I don't know. I feel bad about it because it's like I feel like, yes, I personally let that one individual down.
And that happens to me, too. Sometimes I give information.
But of all things, Jordan Zimmermann.
I mean, it's been
years. I gave him
Dan
Straley instead. And I'm thinking, like, if you have the choice between Straley and Zimmermann, who are you taking on a one-day basis?
Well, it depends on the match.
Neutral matchup.
Probably Straley.
Right, exactly. And he was okay, but it wasn't Zimmermann. Zimmermann's throwing these great outings out of nowhere. What's going on?
Zimmermann had 6 Ks that day at Toronto, 11 in his last outing against Texas. These are not great offenses. I'm not trusting Jordan Zimmermann. Also on Wednesday, Bartolo Colon and Chris Sale on ESPN. It seems kind of one-sided there.
Oh, that's competitive. Come on. Colon can hang in there.
Plus,
he's going to throw like a 7 2/3 innings of perfect.
Colon, that could be a day where like he has to take one for the team and gives up like 12 runs.
You know, Colon really, I'm telling you, Colon, every once in a while, he throws this game that you don't expect. Watch, that's going to be this week's Jordan Zimmermann.
I picked up Marco Gonzalez. You know,
like it.
Finally.
Like it.
Yep. I don't feel good about it. Today's hash browns, by the way, are brought to you by Ballpark Buns. If you're not out there grilling, then someone is out grilling you. And that's why you need Ballpark Buns in your lineup. It's like having a number one draft pick at every backyard barbecue, whether you're playing at home or away. After all, Ballpark hot dog and hamburger buns rank as America's favorite buns, delivering fresh taste and outstanding flavor with every bite. And with 4 varieties to choose from, it's easy to make everyone on your team happy. Find them in a store near you at ballparkbuns.com. Want to take things to the next level? Enter Ballpark Buns Home Run Sweepstakes for a chance to win a prize pack that really brings the heat. 3 grand prize winners will score $2,500, a high-end cooler, a year's supply of Ballpark Buns, plus more. It's a real dinger of a sweepstakes, so don't get caught napping. Enter today at ballparkbuns.com/homerun. That's ballparkbuns.com/homerun. Kyle, you are such an important member of the team, and I look forward to every show when you read the hash browns and do it with such aplomb, and I'm sure there's some great ones today.
Wow, I appreciate that intro. That's big time. I mean, you guys were talking about Colon and Sale. Has there ever been a matchup with different physiques as night and day as those two?
What are you trying to say?
Oh, man.
I mean, it feels like if you took Colon and, like, squished him, and, like, stretched him, like a Gumby style, that would be Chris Sale.
I feel like it's not fair, though, because at one point, Randy Johnson was in the big leagues, and there's guaranteed to be, like...
Maybe him and Bartolo?
Like, David Wells versus Randy Johnson.
Cologne versus Sale. It's like me and Eric on this show.
If Eric was like a foot and a half taller.
Okay.
I suppose.
I'm not a tall man.
No, Chris Ellsberg.
We're going to give you some of those high heel shoes or some clogs or something.
I lost like 10 pounds on my hammock in this 100-degree weather over the past week, by the way.
And I'm glad you're really generous for having given me those. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, giving you the pounds.
10 pounds.
Yeah.
All right.
I gave him a really good home. It was
yeah,
lonely.
Where? I don't want to know. This is getting weird.
Watch out. We're going to go back to buns.
If I had a year's supply of ballpark buns.
I'm hungry now.
Those 10 pounds, yeah.
Well, you don't eat hot dogs, which is just ridiculously, you know, silly.
Oh, I love the chicken sausages, the turkey sausages. But get creative.
If you and I happen to meet up at a game this week, thanks to SeatGeek, I'm going to eat a hot dog right in front of you.
Okay. I don't mind people eating a hot dog in front of me. If you want, you know what? I'll eat a hot dog as well. I'll join you, maybe, and I'll hold my nose.
I thought you were like, would never have a hot dog.
No, I wrote it in my column a few years ago. I'll eat them. I just am not.
You'd just rather eat a turkey leg.
Yes.
That's a much better nickname anyway. Hot dog's kind of a weird nickname. All right,
Hot dog!
Like you were saying, we've got some hash browns on the old Twitter machine. Hashtag 06010MOB if you're going that way. We'd be happy to help you out. Turnbull wants to know what tier of pitcher Blake Snell is now in for the rest of the season.
Sub-all-star, clearly.
Look, we know why he didn't make it. It had nothing to do with him.
Actually,
by the way,
I don't entirely know why he didn't make it.
Because there isn't any room. Because you have to have these ridiculousness with a rep for Jay Happ and Joe Jimenez. And there was no other room.
I've got a couple paths for him to have gotten on there. But it doesn't matter. He's going to be the first
guy. I mean, if you read Dave Schoenfield's excellent blog, and who doesn't?
Yep.
I mean, he basically spells out why this happened.
Yep.
And also, the other thing is, like, the players voted, like, a month ago. Blake Snell's best numbers have come in the past month. So...
Right.
And who pays, you know, all due respect, who's paying attention? That's not a contending team. And the American League's over. And maybe people just don't notice. I think he was, look, of course he's having a better year than Jay Happ. But that's not why Happ made the team. They should really get rid of this. Do they have this rule in hockey and basketball? I don't think they do. They certainly can't
in
NBA.
They eliminated in the NHL. I think they eliminated it.
I think they did. Like, and I just don't, like, again, if I was a Tigers fan, I wouldn't care at all. I may not even know who Joe Jimenez is if I was a Tigers fan.
I mean, just name them as all-stars, but don't bring them to the game.
Pat
right?
Neshek was the Phillies all-star last year. And hey, good for him. He was having a good... He had a low ERA superficially. No Phillies fan cared. None that he made it.
Also, I looked up the Mike Williams thing. He did actually make the all-star game with a 6 ERA.
Yeah.
He had a 6 ERA at the time?
Yeah. It was 6.44.
He made it 2 years in a row. In the second year, it was like 6.44.
I had him on my labor and out team that year.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Remember the year I got Mike Williams and Jose Mesa. Combined like $4 and they got like 50 saves.
They got
like 80 saves.
They combined for like 80 saves in their
I think
area.
They each had like 40 saves.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Blake Snell, isn't he in your top 10 by now? Let me check mine.
I think he was just outside. Actually, I got to throw my new update in there.
Man, that takes me close. So long. It takes me longer than doing one of these shows. Longer than writing a blog. Update these rankings because so much changes.
Yeah, look, that's not a complaint, but I mean, like, in order to do a proper ranking set, it does take a very long amount of time and consideration because one of the toughest parts is the multi-eligibles.
And also, like, the format. You can't search, whatever. Blake Snell was my number 17 starting pitcher in my last update, which doesn't seem very nice. Who would I move him ahead of now that he's pitching so well? See, the problem is I've got guys there based on rep. Strasburg, Kershaw, Greinke, Bumgarner, they're all ranked ahead of Snell.
Right.
But if you told me right now who could I have for the rest of the season, I probably would take Snell over all four of them. Greinke looked terrible yesterday. Just terrible. And, you know, he didn't even make it through five innings. By the way, Robbie Ray couldn't make it through five innings on Saturday with like a 15-3 lead.
And an unbelievable matchup.
I'm trading
too.
Robbie Ray to somebody on this, somebody we know very quickly.
Hey, don't do that to me. You already gave me those 10 pounds.
He's already subtweeted me about a trade we've negotiated like three times.
Oh. I just threw that out there.
Hey, no, it like I responded. It was...
I mean, I don't have any starting pitching either if I trade Bauer.
Right. That's the problem is I feel like Schoenfeld has all of it.
If I sub Bauer for like somebody like me, maybe Michaelis. You like him? Anyway, Snell...
You're going to sell Robbie Ray for Miles Michaelis?
No, I have them both. I'm trying to trade them both.
Oh, okay.
I'm last in strikeouts, so I don't think Michaelis is going to help me that much.
Right.
Well, I'll give you Robbie Ray.
Schoenfield's got that league wrapped up anyway.
You don't believe that for a second.
You don't believe that at all.
I'm starting to believe it. I do
think. Is there
money
for third place? Because that would matter if I make this trade.
Yes, there is.
Okay, then I'm making a trade.
I'm trying to remember if there is for fourth.
All right, so basically, Blake Snell, if he's top 10, he's barely top 10. The top tier remains Scherzer, for me, Scherzer, Kluber, Sale, Severino in some order. I've got Verlander leading the second tier with Nola, DeGrom, Gerrit Cole, and then, like, the history guys, Strasburg, Kershaw, Greinke, Bumgarner. Bumgarner doesn't deserve it either. He doesn't. I'm moving him. That's it. I'm moving them all. I'm moving Blake Snell up. I'm moving Greinke down, Bumgarner down. I'll leave Kershaw for now. When's Strasburg coming back? I'm moving him down, too. I'm moving Morton.
Strasburg's begun the throwing program. I think we're looking at him in the first run through the rotation after the break.
It feels like Trevor Bauer should be a top 10 starter. So I think Bauer's going to move up from like 15
to 9. You mentioned Nola, didn't you, in that second tier?
Nola I already have at 6.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But really, if Nola's 6, Bauer should be 6. So I'm going to move. Anyway, Blake Snell is a borderline top 10 starter. That's probably the third tier. He's worthy.
I'm pretty darn close on this order of pitchers. For me, it goes Nola, Bauer, and Snell. But I think they should be pretty close. And we're looking at something like 8, 10, 12.
Yeah, I think Nola, Bauer, overall. Snell in that order. I think Paxton's right there. I think Paxton and Morton are right there with them.
Did you have Paxton ahead or behind Snell?
I had him ahead, but I'm not so sure I'd want to do that.
Right, yeah, at this point, I think Snell needs to go ahead of Paxton for me. So that's going to be the change in this.
I mean, Paxton's got durability issues. Snell does not.
Right, right. The whip situation with Snell does alarm me a bit. But
my concern with Snell is that when hitters get a little bit more lucky with the BABIP, that hit rate can't continue at that rate. Everything with the walks, I mean, he's still walking people.
Right.
Although not lately. But we knew he was a major strikeout guy. I think I would take them both over Bumgarner right now. I'm just kind of like, what if Bumgarner does the same thing he did last year when he got back healthy? He's kind of average.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. It's conceivable.
All right. There must be other questions. What else?
Yeah. Carter wants to know if there are any players you're moving down your ranks a little bit for fear that their team wraps things up too early and rests them when we need the fantasy production the most.
You know, Tristan's going to disagree with me, but no. The answer is no. I will do it with young pitchers that I think are out of contention and their teams might sit them. But I don't see too many young pitchers right now that I view like as – like Shane Bieber, I don't think Cleveland's still playing for something. They may win the division by 20 games, but they could still, in theory, you know, with that division, get a higher seed. I don't do that in baseball. I do that in football. I don't do that in baseball. Do you?
I don't. I have in the past. I just don't think in this current playoff structure that I put a lot of weight in this. So my answer is the same as yours. It's no, and it's a pretty strong no.
I mean, there obviously are starting pitchers, Tristan, that are going to be sat because of innings limits.
Yes, but it's not as extreme this year. I just tweeted the list of 25 and under pitchers who are on pace for at least a 40-inning increase compared to last year. This counts minor and major league time. And it was a very short list.
Yeah.
Usually it's about 20 players. This time it's about 6.
I mean, like Walker Buehler would have been on that list. He would have been the guy I would have mentioned right off the bat.
Yep.
But he's already missed a month because of his injury, so they don't have to sit him now. Plus, they're going to need to win every game.
He's coming back this weekend, apparently.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Like, that's the thing we're going to see later in the week, is that,
Bieber
could be, like, demoted to single A just for the week so it can stay on rotation. And Suarez of the Giants, same type of thing.
The 6 for everyone listening here, Jonathan Loaisiga, now dealing with an injury, so I don't think this matters, but he's nearly 90 innings over. Lance McCullers Jr., Luke Weaver, Zach Eflin, Freddie Peralta, and Sal Romano.
Zach Eflin is not going to be sat in September if they have a shot at a wild card.
And he's looking at roughly a 40-inning increase. So to me, that's not raising the alarm bells or what, the red flags or whatever.
You raise a flag, you sound a bell.
That, yeah, what he said. Thank you, Kyle, for saving me.
I know it all, whatever.
Yeah. Does McCullers move back to the bullpen for the playoffs for the Astros? Like, do we think that that's...
I think so.
Yeah, so they might not need to rest him down the stretch, quote unquote.
I don't think they look at Keuchel as a reliever just because of the experience for either of these pitchers. They used McCullers in the bullpen last year, and I think they look at that curveball as a weapon in short outings.
I was going to say, send him out there and tell him don't throw anything else.
I would use McCullers as a tandem with Keuchel, frankly.
Oh, I like that.
Keuchel for two rotations through there, you know, and then McCullers.
Make McCullers your Chad Green. Yeah, I like that.
You know, because but in terms of hasn't been that effective. The Yankees would destroy Keuchel. So, all so those this, lefty killers.
The thing about the wrapping up early, where are you looking at teams wrapping up early? Cleveland. Where else?
Well, that's the thing. Like, New York and Boston aren't wrapping up early.
And they are going to battle it right down to the wire.
You do not want to be in that one-game playoff against James Paxton, so you have to win that division.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Houston, but they want the number one seed over the Yankees or Red Sox. I mean, mm-hmm. right now they don't even have it. They're the third best record, don't they? I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, I think there will be some teams that, you know, take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit in September, but I don't think that it's something you can prepare for right now. I think what's going to end up happening is you're fearing Matt Latos that year with the Padres where they started messing with him right after the All-Star break, and we're going to see it happening after Labor Day. I know that's during your the fantasy playoffs. I get that, but you can't make those preparations
today.
What? You have to get there.
You can with Paxton. Think about that one. If they're 8 games behind Houston and locked into the second wild card, and you know Paxton's starting that one-game playoff, they could do whatever they want with him the final 3 weeks of the season.
But what? What do you propose they do with him during that period of time? You do not want to shut him down and mess up
no.
his rhythm.
You don't want to mess that up, but like if his arm is tired and everybody's arm is tired in September, like why would he throw more than 60 pitches in a couple of those outings? That's the one guy who
okay.
I could see being shut down on a contender early. And Bieber to some degree, but nobody's thinking of Bieber as a top 30 starting pitcher.
Yeah, I don't think losing Bieber is really going to kill anybody's fantasy team. I don't think that's...
Though I've found myself investing in a lot of places in Shane Bieber.
I think of the Dodgers, as you said, with Buehler, and that goes beyond him. I think it goes to guys like Ross Stripling. What the makeup of their pitching staff would be for a playoff series is going to come into play late, and the fact that they do mix and match an awful lot.
Okay. What else?
Eric, you mentioned Bieber. Solo wants to know who you have the most confidence in on his roster. He has Bieber, Eovaldi, and Luis Castillo. 12-team points league.
Well, I'm the least confident in Luis Castillo. I've given up hope. I mean, obviously there's something there with him, but with the drop in velocity, it's hard to make any case for Castillo right now. So, but that said, I mean, like, are you really investing in Nate Eovaldi, Tristan? Like, I understand that was a great outing over the weekend against a team that gave up months ago. Just embarrassing what the Mets are doing. But Nate Eovaldi's never stayed healthy for a whole season, right? I would rank them as Bieber, Eovaldi, Castillo, but the only one I would even consider right now in a 12-team points would be Bieber.
I can't wait to see your answer to that question now.
What question?
The question of the day.
The question of the day.
Oh, where I've already said no to one of them, but I might
you've
have told
already,
you
Zimmerman,
you've,
and you pretty much just shot down.
Yep, you've knocked out two of the four, so I'm really curious about which of the other two it
is. I haven't knocked out Eovaldi. Come on.
That's because that's the right answer.
Is it?
Eovaldi is?
It was for me. Not in this question, in the question of the day.
Yeah, so now, Kyle, this is the thing. My mind
What's
immediately
wrong with
went
Anderson?
To Eovaldi. Well, the course. It's nothing more than Coors.
I figured
like guy,
he was the first one you ruled out because of Coors, Eric.
I'll start him every time on the road, and I bet that's where Eric's going.
Yeah, I mean, none of these guys should be. On that many. I mean, Tyler Anderson, that's a good K rate. I don't
it's
know.
Good pitcher. It's just He's the Coors games
and
are
his Coors games really aren't as bad as you think. That ERA is fine.
They're not very good either.
No, he doesn't help you at Coors, but he's not like John Gray there.
He's the slam dunk of these guys in terms of knowing where the matchups are positives. I think of these.
I mean,
of
can
these
I answer
four.
The question that way?
Yeah,
I can.
So, Eovaldi, Kyle. To your point, my mind went to this for one reason. I love him in Tampa because of the extreme pitcher's park. And yes, he's made some adjustments. He's getting traded. I would be stunned if he's not dealt by August 1st.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then it depends on landing spot.
And
I guess.
To be fair, Eovaldi has had a season where he approached 200 innings. So I shouldn't assume that he's going to get hurt. I just don't feel confident he's going to stay healthy the rest of the season. But yes, he's been overpowering in his last couple outings.
If we knew that he was making another 12 starts, if I could give you
the
injury
pick.
Safety,
he'd be
is
the
it Eovaldi?
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, look, unless you can stream Tyler Anderson, but
right. But to know, this some, question some where we have Eovaldi in this, that's toughy. I'm
and
going Bieber.
We just totally. Well, Bieber's not among those guys.
Yeah, he is.
Bieber's not in the email, is he?
No, he's
Bieber,
saying a question of the
Eovaldi
day.
And Castillo.
No, you're talking two different questions.
Two different questions. But
oh,
yeah,
I am?
Bieber easily, yes. I'm a believer, whatever it is.
Wait, what's the other question?
The question of the day. Don't you ever read
ESPN right,
Fantasy?
We're answering two questions at once.
We have a website.
Questionception.
Some of it's posted. Come on.
I'm actually, you know, I'm tempted to go with Anderson. I'm bouncing back and forth on this answer.
And then there's a guy who's 5-0 with a great ERA and WHIP we haven't even mentioned yet. Check it out later.
I don't know. Jace Vargas, man. I'm telling you.
Oh.
He is, and that's not a criticism fully.
Will you still trade for Cole Hamels after he didn't make it out of the first inning last week? You and I were talking about a Cole Hamels trade. I think that ship is sailing.
Well, maybe we can figure that out once we do our SeatGeek game.
Hey, whatever, dude. I'm there. All right, whatever.
I'm checking my options here. Yeah, I'm working on it.
Yeah, I know you. You'll text me like at 4 o'clock that afternoon. It's a good thing you have the SeatGeek app, Tristan.
I know.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to get tickets for this
exactly.
Tebow goodness. Forever. What else?
It has bailed me out, I will admit.
We've got one last question, and it comes from DJ. He wants to know, Jonathan Scope finally had a respectable week and provided plus points. Would you prefer him moving forward or Jorge Polanco?
That's Eric's fault. Nice job. You lit a fire under him.
As soon as I dumped him in two leagues. Isn't that amazing?
I know.
Multi-hit games in 4 out of 5.
We were just talking about that. And you did it to Trevor Story in April.
Come on.
You did. You light fires. Give me another guy who's like ice cold, who's on my team that can really use this. I could. That would be great. Please.
Okay, let me. Who's the worst on the player radar for the past week? Cole Hamels. I'm dumping Cole Hamels now.
Let me get the worst name in the past week.
3 weeks before he gets traded to the Dodgers and has a great second half.
All right. The worst from the past week was, looks like, Bruce Rondon?
No, I can't recommend him.
Jason Hamill right behind him, guy in the moved to the bullpen.
Is he Jake Junis got hit on the DL?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Gio Gonzalez is among the bottom 10.
He's been unusable. Gio Gonzalez.
It's been that bad.
Jeez. What a weird team Washington is.
Basically,
when Scherzer does not start, they don't even get 5 innings. And Tanner Roark, who I know you've hated for years, but now I do too. Like, they're a mess.
Welcome.
This is not about Harper. They're not in third place because of Bryce Harper.
Eric, you can choose the kind of cookies on our bandwagon. Welcome. Cowboy cookies, oatmeal raisins.
I hate being on bandwagons that hate people. That's what you're all about. I'm about the love.
I'm so mean.
I'm about the Bieber love. Okay.
I'm so mean that I'll point out that Alcides Escobar is a 37 weighted runs created plus this year.
I thought he was going to be their all-star. What's amazing is that team doesn't even realize how bad he is. Well, they won a World Series, so that's all that matters. With him leading off. It can happen. The music has stopped, so I guess we're done. Thank you so much for listening to our little show. And please listen again. We're going to have another one on Thursday with the same crew, I believe. And then after that, you know, I don't know. But anyway, day games today, day games on Wednesday for the entire gang, Claudiude and Howell and Soppy and Shane Bieber and Tristan. I am Eric. Have an awesome couple of days. Everything is
awesome. Darkness. The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.